I wouldn't. Have you started recording?
Yeah.
Oh, I won't say that then.
Welcome to the GCN show.
Welcome to the GCN show.
Coming up this week, we're sorry, but you've got the wrong muscle fibre type. Now, it's not the latest cycling excuse, but knowledge that can, in fact, give you a cycling superpower, no matter if you are slow or fast twitch.
We've also got news of a new world record for a 13,000-mile ride, the latest transfers in pro cycling's arms race for the brains of the sport, and we've got a brand new giveaway for you.
Yeah, plus, last week we told you what our most expensive mistakes in cycling were, and you responded in the comments with some brilliant ones of your own. That bit about cycling brains, have you got an announcement?
Yes, later on.
Yeah, okay.
This week in the world of cycling, we learnt that former world champion Paris-Roubaix, Liège and Flanders winner Lizzie Deignan will make 2025 her last year as a pro rider.
Yeah, I genuinely hope she has a cracking final season, but most importantly, is able to savour it at the same time. Now, we also learned this week that if you're feeling like you're in need of one more bike, but you just can't quite put a finger on what it should be, well, how about a lightweight folding cargo bike?
Well, it's funny you should say that, Si, because there's one on Kickstarter now from Folgo, and even better, they will also make you a gravel lightweight folding cargo bike if you so wish.
A gravel version, yes. The most hipster bike that I've seen so far this week.
It is, yeah. Give it time, Si. Finally this week, Si and I learnt that we've both been training wrong.
Yeah, which is now the definitive reason why Dan could only finish 161st in the Tour de France and I didn't get close to riding it at all.
I mean, if only we'd known what the secret was in training at the time. The secret being knowing what your muscle fibre type is.
Yeah, so we were talking this morning at the Cough Machine about a recent article from Alex Hutchinson, aka Sweat Science, who writes for Outside. Now, it's got to be said, I flippin' love that guy, right? Always super interesting, but this particular column was looking at recent research into how muscle fibre type should influence what training you do, in our case for cycling of course, as well as your likely strengths and weaknesses on the bike.
When we're talking about muscle fibre type, we are of course talking about slow twitch and fast twitch muscle fibres, or type 1 and type 2. Slow twitch are the kind used in low intensity steady state cycling.
Yeah, kind of up to the top of zone 2. Isn't it, pretty much?
Around there, exactly. Super efficient and resistant to fatigue. Your fast twitch, though, or type 2 fibres, require glycogen for fuel and fatigue very quickly. But they help you produce loads of power, whether that be for sprinting or jumping or riding fast uphill.
Yeah, in our case, loads of power.
Loads, yeah.
Now, we all naturally have different amounts of fast and slow twitch fibres, or different proportions anyway, which is why some people seem to naturally be better at certain aspects of cycling than others. But rather than it just governing whether you can ride for 200 miles a day, day after day, or be able to sprint up short climbs like Andrew Feather, actually, it should also govern how we approach training. And we should say as well, even if you're not into training, just the riding that you do.
Yeah, perhaps the most telling thing is how fast twitch dominant riders can be susceptible to repeated long rides and get tired. Or more seriously than that, they can get overtrained.
Yeah, there's so many occasions, right, that I can think of in my past, speaking either personally, I feel like I've been the king of overtraining in my time, or former teammates who could get really good race results, but then they tried to increase their miles, basically, do what pro cyclists did and train even more, but then ultimately didn't get any faster. It actually ultimately got slower. Mm. So in hindsight, they were just trying to train their bodies in a way that just didn't suit them.
I had that as well.
Did you?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, also you see it with people, or we've both seen it in the past, with people who've gone from full-time worker, fitting cycling around that full-time job, to trying to make it as a full-time cyclist, and they really struggled to get any better.
Yeah. Basically, though, what we're saying is that for most of us, if you don't seem to be able to do as much riding as your mates without getting knackered, it might not be, I don't know, because you've got loads of other stuff going on in your life. It might not be because you're not fit enough, but actually, it might simply just be that it doesn't suit you and you could embrace doing less, but still being better.
On the other hand, though, how should a fast twitch rider train? I mean, a lot of course depends on what your objective is, but shorter, more intense training sessions could yield better results.
Yeah. What's really interesting, though, is how much you can actually influence your own ratio of fast to slow twitch fibres through training. And it's more than the scientific community ever thought as well. So a study linked to from that outside article was this one from Bathgate et al., which subjected two identical twins, willingly, we should add, to a whole load of tests.
Yeah, this one's very interesting, isn't it? So the twins had led very different lives. One was a lifelong endurance athlete, the other very sedentary. As well as all the differences you would expect, their muscle fibre types were wildly different. A 94% slow twitch compared to 40%.
That is bonkers.
It is, isn't it?
Absolutely bonkers. So clearly our genes don't tie us to our muscle makeup. Now, I think this is a very good thing in one respect, in that anyone could become an ultra-endurance athlete with enough time and hard work. But also, I think there's a bit of a warning here, right, is that you kind of need to safeguard your fast twitch fibres if you don't want to just become a diesel, basically.
You could be forgiven for thinking at this point for not having a clue whether you're a fast twitch or a slow twitch dominant person. Now, the accurate way of measuring that is to take a muscle biopsy, which is as painful as it sounds, isn't it? What you can do instead, though, is just jump. 20 inches or more for men, 14 inches for women, apparently, to find out if you're predominantly fast twitch. If you're higher than that, you're going to be predominantly fast twitch.
Yes. Now, we both tried this, didn't we? And could barely get over 12 inches. So we're starting to wonder whether or not you're allowed to kind of like bring your knees up towards your chest to get that extra altitude because we were so blooming bad.
Your jump was like 6 inches, wasn't it? But you said 8.
Basically, well, I mean, it's hard to measure, isn't it, from that perspective? Yeah. It's difficult to know how big it is just because you can't... Do you know what I mean? But anyway, genuinely, in part, this lack of jumping ability is because we're getting old, isn't it, right? And that also affects your slow twitch to fast twitch ratio because as you age, whilst you can maintain your slow twitch fibres, you basically hemorrhage fast twitch ones, which is a bit depressing, isn't it? But at least it explains a lot. Well, in light of all of this, firstly, I'm not going to ask about now because you're getting old, so clearly slow twitch, but in your prime, your heyday, do you think you were fast or slow twitch?
Well, firstly, I am going to talk about me now. this is why I have been doing box jumps at the gym because I learned some time ago that you do lose the fast twitch fibres and that power very quickly
as you age. Back.
I hadn't done any tests before, to be honest. I mean, I seem to be able to jump slightly. The trouble with box jumps is, in order to know you're jumping high, you have to rotate the box to the higher point. And I have once on the box jump, I didn't quite make it, and I stumbled. And it's a soft thing, but it still scrapes down my shin.
And this is presumably in a public setting in a gym.
Yeah, it was definitely one of those things. Where I sort of had a quick scan around and see who'd seen it. Thankfully, I don't think anyone had.
Judging by your jump in the office earlier, I'd say you haven't improved greatly.
No, but you can't bend your legs for that maximum height jump. As in, you can bend them to spring off, but then you have to keep them straight.
Yeah.
Whereas on the box jump, obviously, you know, you can then bend them again to get to the top of the box.
Yeah.
Anyway, in terms of before, I think you find the natural place, don't you? When you had the opportunity to train as much as we did, I certainly found there was a point where I was just trying to do more and more hours on the bike and I would really pay for it. And I could see peers, you know, that were similar age and perhaps slightly better ability, or so it seemed, that were able to soak up the extra hours week in, week out in the pre-season and really start to make leaps and bounds. But, you know, my best year did come after reducing training load but doing slightly more intensity.
Yeah. See, I think I was probably I was never a sprinter, right? Don't get me wrong. I couldn't win a bunch sprint, even if it was just a group of one. But, like, I definitely think I was more that way inclined, but I sort of trained it out of myself, I think, to my detriment.
Mm. I think it's difficult. Now, if you're not a natural sprinter, however much people say you need to train your weaknesses, and especially your sprint, because that's what's going to get you the results that will show up and get you recognised, it's so hard to motivate yourself to do something that you know you're not that good at.
Yeah.
You know that's the thing you need to work on.
True that, yeah. Well, anyway, get involved in the comment section down below. Appreciate we're talking about something quite specific here in terms of training. But actually, even if, as we said, you don't train for cycling, you just go out and ride, do you have an inkling as to whether you are fast or slow to its dominant? And would knowing actually make you change anything about what you do. I'd be really interested to read this one.
Yeah, let us know in the comment section down below.
And now it's time for Cycling Shorts.
Cycling Shorts now, and we're going to start by going back a couple of weeks to remind you of what was the main talking point of the GCN show. It was around pro cycling's new arms race and the fight for the best cycling brains.
Well, there's been some new transfers on
that
front,
hasn't there? The brain market.
It has, the latest scouting has involved Visma Lisa Bike's head of nutrition, Oscar Joikendrup.
Yeah, so he has been poached by Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe, who are looking for a replacement for their nutritionist, Tim Podlogar, who's off to Tudor Pro Cycling.
Interesting stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm sure this was not reported in the same way many years ago, or just
even
a couple of years ago.
No, I genuinely don't think so. I didn't think people knew who the backroom staff were.
No, but it's all big news now.
Absolutely.
Reading about the likes of Alex Dowsett, etc. Still no teams, incidentally, Si, who are looking for experienced, middle-aged YouTube presenters.
No.
Unfortunately.
I mean, like, so our CV's round, haven't we?
All the World Tour teams have got our CVs now, yeah.
Yeah, but not had any replies or acknowledgements.
No,
have we, really?
Let alone offers.
No.
Yeah.
So
anyway, speaking of presenters, over here in the UK, former Top Gear presenter Paddy McGuinness has been busy riding a chopper bike, all in aid of charity.
Yeah, so over 5 days, he rode from Scotland to Wales, which is a total of around 300 miles, and was joined by the likes of Sir Chris Hoy along the way. And so far, his exploits have raised over £10 million for children in need, which is... that's remarkable, isn't it?
It's a serious amount of money, isn't
it?
Over £10 million. So well done to Paddy. That must have hurt on a chopper.
Well, that's
even
it.
If you're an experienced cyclist, that's not going to be easy, is it?
I know, yeah. 300 miles, albeit done on a rally chopper, does pale, though, we should say, into insignificance in comparison to the 13,000 miles have just been ridden by Bond Almond.
Yeah, Bond just smashed the world record for riding the Pan American Highway, completing that journey by bike, obviously, in 75 days, 17 hours, and 55 minutes. And he was completely unsupported
for
all those 2 months or so. So he started up in Alaska and finished all the way down in Argentina, ascending 540,000 feet or 165,000 metres along that journey.
That is a lot of elevation gain, isn't
like
it?
I mean, three grand tours worth.
Oh, my goodness. It's got to be said, like, it is quite a bumpy route, that, isn't it? Or it could be.
Well, it sounds it.
It could be really flipping bumpy, actually. But anyway, 16.2 mile an hour was his average speed, which is, like, I mean, that's really good going, isn't it, to be fair?
Yeah.
Especially given the average distance was 179 miles.
Is that the average?
Per day. Yeah, and bear in mind, as you mentioned, unsupported. So you've got to find your own food, find your own accommodation. You probably don't have to do too much washing if you're on your own, you know?
No, you can get away with that.
Basically.
170,
yeah.
I haven't done a single ride in my entire life as long as 179 miles.
Really?
No.
What?
No.
Call yourself a cyclist. What are you talking about?
I think my longest days were in bike races. My longest one probably would have been Flanders or something, which is 265Ks.
I mean, you can call yourself a cyclist if you've done Tour of Flanders.
Yeah, but it's not as long, is it?
No, I mean, it's definitely not. No. You ever attempted to do a ride longer than that?
Longer than... No.
No. As in just flat out no, it didn't take much thought.
It doesn't take much. I mean, that was hard enough when I was as fit as I could possibly be. I'm not going to do that again now, am I?
Well, I don't know, mate. As we get older, we tend to lose our fast twitch fibres and get more slow twitch.
I've been doing loads of box jumps, haven't I? Pretty much
point.
fully fast twitch at this point.
I think we might. I'd challenge Dan, just, you know.
Yeah, challenge not accepted. I just said no.
Okay, right, move on, shall we, to some potentially bad news for bike consumers over in the US. It's not like we need any more bad news currently.
No,
but
we're giving it to you anyway, though.
Yeah, sorry, guys. Donald Trump's campaign talked of new import tariffs designed to protect US manufacturers, which will therefore increase the price of imported foreign goods.
Now, unfortunately for cyclists, that tariff looks set to be highest on goods imported from China, which is obviously where the vast majority of bikes and components are manufactured. That country alone actually accounted for close to $4 billion of cycling-specific exports back in 2022.
Wowzers. Now, nobody knows exactly what these new tariffs are going to look like, but most seem to be in agreement that it is the end consumer who will bear the brunt of them.
As always.
Well, yeah, and you've got to say, I guess, like, if if bikes from Asia end up being more expensive, then yeah, it could end up benefiting American manufacturing, but that's not going to be any cheaper, right?
No.
It's just going to benefit American manufacturing because suddenly it doesn't seem quite proportionally as expensive.
I think some of these tariffs on imports obviously already exist. It just sounds like they're going to get bigger. And like we said, nobody knows by exactly how much.
So buy a new bike now.
Yes.
Basically.
Right, sticking with the US, it looks as though General Motors are going to make bike alert technology standard in almost all of their cars starting from next year, so 2025.
Yeah. So they've already got the technology in 10 of their models, but that will expand as they roll new cars out from next year. And now the article we saw on Freep.com said that they don't have any data on the effectiveness of the technology in their own cars because it's early days, but that similar systems have shown a 45% reduction in crashes.
Oh, crikey. Well, any reduction is great, isn't it? But that does sound pretty significant, 45%.
It does, but I got to say, I don't like this kind of tech.
Oh, it's the first time you had a bee on your bonnet this week.
Well, it is, yeah. No, it's like, fine. The stuff I really hate is when your bike has to talk to a car to let it know that you're there, because therefore, if your bike doesn't have that technology, then in theory, someone who's like waiting to be told that there's a cyclist could therefore
you just
not
have to shout really loud.
Yeah, or imagine if the battery runs flat. Anyway, this doesn't this doesn't have that, right? But still, there's that thing where it's like, well, I might as well look at my phone now because my car's going to alert me to everything, and then you just like, anyway,
Okay.
There we go.
Rant over.
Yeah, sorry.
Still a reduction, though, isn't it?
It is a reduction. And talking of reductions, can we segue neatly now into a quick plug for the GCN shop?
Oh, wow, yeah.
Well, Black Friday, our sale has now officially launched, and there are, we should say, some absolute bargains to be had.
Not quite 45% reduction, but not far off, actually, because there is 40% off our GCN Ahu cycling kit, which is a huge amount.
That is a huge discount, yeah.
There are also discounts on our casual clothing and accessories. So head over to shop.globalcyclingnetwork.com and have a look at what bargains take your fancy over there.
Yeah. I've got to say how much I like those bib shorts that we get to wear. They're really nice.
They're the longest leg I've ever had, which when you've got long legs that used to be skinny get increasingly, you know, type one, sort of biggish.
Yeah.
You know, they stick down right down by your knees, which is the current fashion, isn't it?
Yeah. say you're old without saying that you're old, mate. Right. As a reminder, our shop is one of the main ways, we should say, that that allows us to fund our free-to-view content. So, genuinely, joke aside, any support that you do give in that way makes a really big difference.
Does make a big difference, yeah. All right, we'll finish Cycling Shorts this week with two bits of giveaway news. First up, we're going to announce the winner of the Core heat sensor. Oh. You ready? I'll do a drum roll, shall I?
Okay, you're not actually going to believe this.
You can't really do a drum roll on that new desk.
No,
it's
too
soft.
Yeah. You're not going to believe it. Who's won?
Who's won?
Corey Fields.
Corey. No.
Yeah. Well done, Corey Fields. Anyway, that's amazing. We'll be in touch with you soon. So,
In case you didn't recognise your own name, Corey. Well done. Right, we've got a new giveaway for you now, courtesy of our wheel partners at Elite.
And you don't need to be called Elite-y to enter, do you? Like, that actually was just coincidence.
Or G36. It's up for grabs, a pair of their new G36 gravel wheels, which we talked about, I think, on last week's GCN.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
Didn't we? So entries are already open. But you've got until the 29th of November to get your entry in for that giveaway.
Yeah, which is a week on Friday,
isn't it?
Yeah, so all details on how to enter can be found in the description below. So, good luck to everyone, particularly those whose middle name is Gravel.
Hack / bodge of the week now, and not sure if we're a bit too early for this, are we? But the first one is Christmassy.
Oh my goodness me.
19th of November.
That's pretty early, but go on then, Dan.
Hey, I think it's worth it because it comes in from Lotta Gale, who put recycling my old bike chains into Christmas decorations. And I'm already saying hack because I think these look wonderful.
I mean, they are quite cool, aren't they?
Yeah.
I like the customised red, whatever they're called. What are they called? Pins.
Yeah, as a description for our podcast listeners, I mean, the ribbon doesn't look great, does it?
Oh, savage.
Well, I mean, it just looks a bit like it's been reused as well. But anyway, small links of chains that have been linked back together into sort of circles or stars, with the pins, as I mentioned, coloured in red.
Yeah, there you go. Very festive.
Some of the colouring in could have been a bit neater as well. I see there's a bit of a splodge of red just outside the pin there. That would have been me turning the page of my colouring in book and starting again on the next one.
I bet it would, yeah. I bet you're fastidious about colouring in between the lines. Are you going to say this is a splodge then?
I couldn't watch my kids doing colouring in because as soon as they started going over the lines, I couldn't watch it anymore.
I'll just take that away from you.
Let me show you how to... Also, putting the stickers in the Panini books. When I was young, I used to really piss myself off. I couldn't get the sticker, like, bang on in the block it should be. So, again, watching a kid just, like, put it crossways. I mean, I'm only 2 years old, but still, should be a bit better than that. Anyway, I'm still going hack.
Are you? Well, there you go. That shows, Lotta, just how much Dan rates your Christmas decorations. Yeah. I'm going to say hack as well, right? Good. You know, what better use could you have for an old bike chain than sharing goodwill and Christmas cheer?
Yeah.
So, there we go, hack then. Right, what about this from Tom? This is impressive.
I built
this frame in my garage using a hobby CNC machine to make the tube moulds in MDF, a 3D printer for moulds to compression mould the rear dropouts, a lathe, homemade curing oven, and a vacuum pump. It weighs 950 grams and rides great. I'm just going to zoom in here. So this is a homemade carbon fibre frame that actually looks fully legit.
It looks unbelievably good, doesn't it?
It looks really good. Like, seriously good. That's, like...
My only worry is the term hobby CNC machine. Just makes it sound like it's not going to be quite good enough to...
But if that's only making the moulds...
Well, true, yes.
Then it doesn't really matter. It's all about your layup, isn't it? I mean... This is incredible, Tom.
It probably could be the biggest hack we've ever had in 11 years.
As in making a carbon fibre bike in your garage. Yeah, I mean,
it's not just any homemade carbon fibre. I mean, there aren't many to start with, are there?
No, I have seen one or two.
Like Si says, this homemade carbon bike looks fully legit. Like, you'd actually pay about 10 grand for one of those. If you saw that at the Roulair show with a price tag of 12 grand, I'm going up by two.
I wouldn't bat an eyelid. I think we should dispatch Ollie and or Alex to go and have a look at this bike.
Mm.
Can you let us know, Tom, where you live, please? And then, you now have to give us your exact address just in case you're worried that Ollie and Alex are going to come round and, you know. But yeah, this looks incredible. We need to know more.
Yeah,
amazing. More about your homemade carbon bike. Hack, 100% hack.
Safe to say it's a hack from both of us. And if anyone out there thinks this is a bodge, let us know why. I mean, I can't believe anyone think that was a bodge.
I don't think anyone would be so Scrooge-like. When we've just had a Christmas.
Not this
decoration.
Close to Christmas.
No, exactly.
November the 19th, for goodness sake.
Basically there, aren't we? Right then, what's next then?
Harvey Wilde, my workplace repainted the bike parking area in the parking garage, but didn't know how to spell bike correctly. Well, they knew how to spell bike correctly and cycle correctly, but they've put them together, haven't they? Bike cycle.
Bike cycle. Oh, that's brilliant. I mean, it's a very nice stencil. And I mean, I like what they've done there. Like, you've got a bike parking area, which is cool. Mm. But that is unfortunate, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's not a deal breaker, though. It's the thought that counts, isn't it?
I mean, you still get the gist.
Yeah, exactly.
You still know what it's for.
Yeah, bikes and cycles. So, yeah, that's a win. Probably a bodge, though, isn't it, really? Warren sent this one in. In these parts... Oh, God, is this Canada already? When it gets dark and cold at 5 p.m., the hardier members of my club turn to midweek night rides on the pathways of Calgary. Generally, there's a beer stop in the wilderness somewhere at the halfway point. My beer can used to rattle annoyingly in the bottle cage and was either shook up or frozen.
Hack.
By the time we got to the pit stop, half the beer gone. I cut an old athletic sock to size, which stops the rattle and insulates enough to keep the beer in its proper liquid form without shaking it up. Problem solved.
Oh, no, he's ruined it at the end by saying clearly a hack. Judging his own submission.
I mean, it is clearly a hack.
Well, it is, but now I'm more reluctant to give it one.
Well, I mean, you could argue that that's not a particularly pleasant-looking sock. You know, maybe it could be better than that.
It could have been cut more neatly as well.
Yeah, it could have been cut more neatly.
Quite frayed at the top there.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm going bodge.
Are you?
No, I'll go hag.
I mean, it does involve beer, so...
It does,
yeah. Looks like a nice beer as well, that. Hazy IPA Skyrocket. Ooh, looks like a strong one.
6.3%.
Yeah, might work.
All right, hack.
just go careful riding home after that.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. That was a banger of a Hackle Boys this week, wasn't it?
It was indeed.
A bike.
Yeah, well, I mean, don't let that put you off putting your own hacks or bodges and submitting them in ready for next week's show. Not everyone can make their own homemade carbon fibre bike.
No, I mean, it's taking me a while, Dan. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I've got stuck on my hobby CNC machine.
Did you?
Yeah.
But yeah, if you'd like to get involved, ready for next week's show, all you've got to do, submit your hacks or bodges or those that you've seen out and about somewhere by going to globalcyclingnetwork.com/uploader.
Caption competition now, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. All you've got to do is put a witty caption in the comment section underneath this video that relates to a photo we will give you in just 1 second after, of course, the results from last week where we announced the lucky winner. Actually, not lucky, skillful.
Skillful winner, yes.
Humorous, talented.
Last week's photo was this one from the Saitama criterium a couple of weeks ago. Roman Bardet, Mark Cavendish and Biniam Girmay with some top hats in team colours on. Our winner this week is Kuna Puncher, who put caption competition. Roman thinking, still beats a Team Visma Lisa bike helmet. Referring to the time trial ones, of course.
I like that. Well deserved. Get in touch and we will get your GCN bottle out to you. This week's photo, is this one, is it from the Ghent 6 Day?
From the Ghent 6 Day, yes. Benjamin Thomas of France and Fabio van den Boscher, I think of Belgium, with flowers arranged in a six over their shoulders. I will get you started as ever. Fabio, I've marked that up already.
You have, yeah, go on. Give it another go.
I'll give it another go. Editor will cut that. No way that'll make the final cut.
Yeah.
I'll get you started. Fabio, whatever you do, don't let that six go upside down because I don't want to be in a 69 with you.
I mean, to be fair, looking at the pair of them, I'm not entirely sure there are many other caption it's possible with that, is it? I feel like you've picked a photo.
Yeah, just to suit my own narrative.
Basically, yeah. If you think you can beat that, then get in touch and, pop your caption in the comment section down below. Crikey, you'd have thought I'd have remembered that, wouldn't you, after all these weeks?
I couldn't even say Fabio. Some of our favourite comments now from the last week's worth of videos before we let you know what's coming up on GCN this week. Starting, as ever, with a few from underneath last week's show, which is about the things that we'd wasted money on in cycling. None for me, many for Si, many for a lot of you as well.
Well, absolutely, yeah. I think that's the, the norm, isn't it, really? We'll start with this one from Isha99. I like Adam Savage's guide to buying tools. Buy the second cheapest version of a tool you can find. If the crappy quality irks you and you use it frequently, then buy the best one you can afford. That seems really good, doesn't it? Because you never know how much you're going to use something until you've got it, by which point, then you'd be like, oh, I'm going to get value out of this. So I'd like that very much.
Very good.
Thank you for letting us know,
nice
Isha.
Axum Gabriohannes says, regarding expensive purchases, can't believe I managed to get through that surname fairly well and I couldn't say purchases afterwards. I think the crucial thing is being honest with yourself as to why you're buying it. Don't try and justify buying Dura-Ace or an oversized pulley wheel for performance gains as a medium ability amateur, but if you have the means and it really makes you happy every time you ride your bike, then it's a completely different matter.
Yeah, a lot of people saying that there's no way they could waste money on cycling given how much pleasure it brings them and the health benefits and everything else. So yeah, that's totally cool. However, Adam Shipway Designer said, this is savage, this story, right? So biggest waste, paying $1,200 to transport my $2,500 bike back to Australia from Copenhagen. It flew with me to Europe as checked baggage at no extra cost, but my route back was more logistically challenging. I thought it was going to cost $700, but it got out of control once back in Australia, all sorts of handling and release fees. I almost had the bike back when quarantine found a dead bug in the shared container, so I then had to pay for fumigation as well, despite having cleaned my bike meticulously before shipping. And the whole process took 3 months. It would have been cheaper to FedEx it and it would have got home before me. How bad is that?
Oh, my goodness me.
Probably could have picked up the same bike secondhand for that 12 and
a half. Oh, don't, mate, don't. Oh, that's awful.
Fantastic.
Oh, I feel
Mike Penn wrote in saying, not surprised by Dan's take regarding frugality. I was inspired by him to make my own chain whip, and it served me wonderfully the two times I've used it over the last 4 years.
We should probably say that that is your most expensive mistake, given that the price for the raw materials for your homemade chain whip were more than the actual good chain whip that you could buy from Park.
That was a mistake. I'd overestimated how much a new chain whip was. Do you know what? I don't think I'd ever bought a chain whip because I had already made one in high school.
All right.
Yeah, which served me well.
For there you go,
I probably wouldn't anymore because I imagine the chain was like 7-speed or something. Probably wouldn't fit on the new cassettes.
Okay, right. And then the last one we're going to pick out is from Roy's Auto. The biggest waste of money was buying a rowing machine last fall. It was a 2-month wait until delivery. And in that time, I started watching GCN and heard about this thing called Zwift. So I got an indoor trainer, connected my bike, and had absolutely no desire to use the rower once it arrived. It sat around for a year until I sold it last week. That is brilliant. Oh, fair play, Roy.
Very
That's
good.
Absolutely wicked.
Meanwhile, under the story of Wahoo, presented by Sai here, lots of people trying to guess what product Wahoo might be launching soon in the comment section.
People have been scouring the video for clues.
Did you leave any in there?
Well, yeah, apparently there is one. So if you watch that video in 4K on your TV, as many people are doing these days, then apparently there is potentially...
A clue,
yeah.
When do you have to wait if you don't want to scour on 4K through the video?
Well, just watch the whole video. Why would you not?
Yeah.
I don't understand. Anyway, yeah, so there you go. I'm just going to put it out there.
Jim Embry wrote in under that video, said, love it when engineers run the company. Keep the accountants out.
I like the thread underneath that as well, where people were like, yeah, also keep management out and keep like HR out, keep everyone out. Basically, just have a bunch of engineers. I'm not sure how many, well, successful companies that have just been a bunch of engineers making stuff, but it better be cool. Then Dave Pratt said, as a longtime Wahoo user, I can say their products are good, but their customer service is great.
That's good to hear, isn't it?
Well, and yeah, you know that there's a dude, the Meat Dino, is there testing stuff out if you've got a problem. It's quite cool, isn't it?
Fantastic. Underneath my video about quitting alcohol for a month / 5 weeks and 6 days, Mr. Poz Bliz wrote in to say, thank you for talking openly about alcohol. I wish we could talk more openly about this problem and how to deal with it together. Thank you, Dan, for taking this courageous and exemplary step.
Yeah, that's cool, isn't it? And then Matt Berkey said, 6.5 months sober. Best cycling year I've ever had. So, yeah, that's super cool.
Lots of comments along those lines, weren't there?
Yeah, brilliant.
Can I take a recumbent on a proper bike ride with Hank? Darren C wrote in and said, I thought Hank might be nervous about this, but he was so laid back.
Hey! That's wicked. And then Y3610 said, Hank has doubled his distance with the weaving. Yeah. It took him a while to get his head around that bike, didn't it?
Despite the use of recumbents in the past.
To be fair, though, the fact that he did have it nailed by the end, that's not bad, actually, learning how to ride a bike in a one ride. Fair play to him. Pretty cool. Full commitment.
I think we did that when we were three, though, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
How to ride a bike in one ride.
Yeah.
What's coming up on the channel this week, then? On Wednesday, we have got a first look of a bike, which I don't think we've left any clues to any video so far. So, obviously, we can't tell you anything about it because there's an embargo until there. But... it's unbelievable.
And talking of 4K on your TV, that video is one to savour. So that's a banger. If it's like, for everyone who's missing GCN Plus documentaries, basically, we've snuck one in for you. It's absolutely wicked.
So if you have, or if you do watch that on your commute to work on the train, on a mobile phone, watch it again afterwards on a big quality TV.
Yeah,
well worth it.
Yeah.
On Thursday, we're going to show you how to use Zwift.
Yeah, proper beginner's guide, this one, isn't it?
Yeah. Obviously, lots of you are already into your Zwifting, but plenty of people, particularly at this time of year, like, who was it? The comment that we had in?
Yeah, if you've just bought a rowing machine, this is the video
Matt
for
Berkey.
You. Yeah.
Yeah, for those of you who are just about to get into cycling, having ditched the rowing machine before you've even used it, this will be for you.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Then on Saturday, I had a lot of fun making this, the future of gravel bikes. So basically, we've had a look at the signs, the writing on the wall. We think we know where gravel bikes are heading. So we've made one, tested it out.
Yeah. Not homemade carbon fibre.
No, I did. I was tempted, but no, we didn't do that. Anyway, it's cool. So check that one out on Saturday, and then on Sunday. Well, last year you remember that Hank and Ollie tackled the world's fastest group ride, the infamous ride in Tucson, Arizona, called the Shootout. But actually, I think a lot of places lay claim to having the world's fastest group ride, including Doncaster.
Oh.
Yeah, here in the UK, with a lot of pros, more pros per square kilometre than you can shake a stick at. So Hank went to see if he could survive this one and do any better than he did at the Shootout.
On a recumbent. No,
definitely not.
Right. That brings an end to this week's show.
It does, doesn't it?
Shut our laptops delicately. So I don't know what that is. I just noticed that and tried to cover it up, but now you've highlighted it, drawn attention to it.
This substandard table.
Yeah. Thanks for the comments on the table last week. We shall not pass comment on it.
Well, there might be something exciting happening next week, might there?
Well, yeah, that's embargoed as well.
Yeah. Okay. Can't talk about that.
Right. See you next week.